Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community. This program is sponsored in part by the Communication Workers of America 2-13 and the AFA-CWA, and we appreciate their support. Joining us today from Social Security Works, we've got Linda Benesch. Linda, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back on, Charles.
Linda, I got to tell you, I cannot think of very many people I'd rather have on than you today when we're talking about, you know, we're talking about the GOP tax proposals. It's ludicrous. It's a giant giveaway to the wealthy in this country at the expense of working people. My God, we're talking about somebody making $10,000 a year having to kick in $1,500 in taxes. We're talking about taxing the interest on student loans, houses, and a myriad of other things, just so the millionaires and billionaires in this country can reap a gigantic illicit windfall. And, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not real too terribly concerned about the Trump kids getting an extra $1 billion, an extra $1 billion from their father's estate. Look, we've got people to send to school. We've got people to put roofs over their heads and other things. And quite frankly, to have politicians just absolutely positively harm their constituents on behalf of those people that write those big campaign checks is, you know, it's appalling.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And when you say big, like, they really are big. The Republican donors have given more than $30 million to push this tax plan, and that's because they know what it's going to do for them. So looking at in 2027, people with incomes between $4,000 and $5,000 are going to be paying $5.3 billion more in taxes if this goes through, while people with an average income of $1 million are going to be paying $5.8 billion less. And that's on average, and so the top 0.1% are going to be getting a $320,000 tax break each.
It's incredible, isn't it? And they're willing to do this, and then a little while down the road, they're going to say, oh, my God, look at this deficit. We have to cut programs to pay for this. What are they going to go after?
Exactly what they're going to do. So this is actually, it's a two-part thing, because first of all, this bill directly cuts Medicare. If this bill becomes law, it's going to be an immediate cut to Medicare of $25 billion and $400 billion in the next 10 years. And then that's not even the half of it, because just as you said, as soon as this goes through, they're going to be pushing for further cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Paul Ryan came out and said it last week. So did Trump's own Treasury Department. They came out with this one-page quote-unquote report, and it said, oh, we're definitely going to be able to pay for this tax plan. We just have to quote-unquote welfare. But that math does not add up unless what they mean by welfare is Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
What can we do as constituents, as voters, as citizens of this country? Is there anything that we can do now to stop this GOP debacle?
Yes. So actually, I have the top three things that your listeners can do today to oppose this bill. The number one thing is, if you have any friends and family in Alabama, call them now, tell them how terrible this tax plan is, and tell them that getting Doug Jones into the Senate is probably the best shot at defeating it. And that if they haven't voted yet, they need to go out and do that as soon as they possibly can. Then the number two thing is, call any friends and family who you have in Maine and tell them that Susan Collins, switching her vote, because they've made a lot of promises to her that they're not going to be able to keep. And she said she doesn't know how she's going to be voting on the final bill. So tell them they need to be calling her office. They need to be joining the protests that are happening every day at all of her state offices, because we really need to be putting the pressure on her And then number three is, if you have any friends and family in Arizona, John McCain and Jeff Flake are also possible swing votes on this thing. We would only need Jones and Collins if Jones gets elected today, but it would certainly be good to flip some others. So Arizona is a very big target right now. And then I'll even say number four is anyone who has any Republican senators should be calling them daily at 202-224-3121 and reminding them just how incredibly unpopular this tax scam is with the American people.
Linda, you say, and right now we're talking with Linda Benesch of Social Security Works. She's the communications director. Linda, let me ask this. You know, we know that we can reach out and we can do something, but I mean, this is so frustrating for a number of people. For, you know, it's not just the initial pass on what's going to happen with funding going to the ultra rich in this country and being taken off of working people. But I mean, we know what it's going to do to Social Security now. We know what it's going to do to Medicare and Medicaid now. You know, other programs are going to be impacted too, like CHIP, which is healthcare for kids. Where is this hacking and slashing of the budget going to stop, or is it just going to continue?
Well, I would say, first of all, that we still have a very strong chance at stopping this thing, especially if Doug Jones is able to win today in Alabama. But discussing what happens if it passes, I think then the attention is really going to turn to Democrats, and we're going to need to make sure that they stay united, because, as you said, what the Republicans are going to be doing next is pointing to the huge deficit created by their tax scam and saying, oh, look, we need to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And we know that they're going to do that because that's what they did under Clinton after Reagan's tax scam. That's what they did under Obama after Bush's tax scam. All of those were giveaways to the wealthy, and they used it as an excuse to try to cut or earn benefits. But the difference is, under Clinton and under Obama, there were some faction of Democrats who bought into that deficit-mongering rhetoric. They gave Republicans cover to be pushing for those cuts. And this time around, Democrats right now as a party are very united around expanding, not cutting Social Security. Many Democrats support expanding Medicare and Medicare for All. And we need to really make sure that we maintain that unity, because they actually can't cut Social Security without Democratic support, because that takes 60 votes in the Senate. And for Medicare and Medicaid, they don't need Democratic support, but they would certainly like to have bipartisan cover. So we need to make sure that Democrats stand united against all cuts to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and all of these other vital programs, and that they, in fact, run in 2018 and 2020 on raising taxes on the wealthy, and if it passes, on repealing all the tax cuts, and then using that increased revenue to expand, not cut, Social Security and Medicare.
There you go. Hey, listen, Linda, we're going to take a short break. Can we get you to stick around for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I appreciate that. Linda Benesch of Social Security Works. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Free and open access to the Internet is a virtuous democratic principle known as net neutrality, meaning the system doesn't care if you're a brand-name corporation or an unknown startup, a billionaire or a poverty-wage laborer. You are entitled to equal treatment in sending or getting information on the World Wide Web. However, corporate executives never let virtue stand in the way of profit. We're told that access to this information highway is crucial to your and my educational achievement, future prosperity, and ability to be self-governing, as well as being vital to our nation's well-being. Yet, access onto the digital highway is not a public service, but instead is controlled and sold to us by a few for-profit corporations, so few of them that selling Internet service has become a non-competitive market, letting service providers extract excess profits from customers. And now they've convinced Donald Trump and company to dump the idea of net neutrality, viewing its public benefit as an unwarranted obstacle to their desire to grab greater profits. Here's their scheme. One, rather than having one big broadband freeway open for transporting everyone's content, the Internet service monopolists intend to create a special system of high-speed lanes for the richest producers of content. too. This express lane will be made available to those who want to rush their information, viewpoints, programs, etc., to the public, leaving everyone else's content jammed up in the slow lanes. And three, the internet providers will charge a premium price to those who can afford to have their content channeled into the high-speed toll lanes. This is Jim Hightower saying, a broad coalition of enraged and net-savvy groups has arisen to defend the internet's democratic essence. You can join them by visiting battleforthenet.com.
Somos la Unión Internacional de los Panaderos, Confiteros y Trabajadores de Tabaco y los Molineros de Grano luchando por los trabajos americanos. Nabisco, fabricante de marcas icónicas como el Oreo, Ritz Crackers y Chips Ahoy, ha ganado la fortuna en América y su respuesta patriótica ha sido enviar los trabajos americanos a México. Como resultado, los consumidores en los Estados Unidos siguen boicoteando los productos hechos en México. Ingresos corporativos han bajado en todo Norteamericana. Los consumidores están enviando un mensaje muy fuerte y claro. Ahora los líderes religiosos de todas las religiones a través de los Estados Unidos están pidiendo una investigación del modelo de negocio de Nabisco y han programado un tour de 6 ciudades para investigar el asunto de manera más profunda. En el mismo momento en que las negociaciones de NAFTA están en la mente de todos, la comunidad religiosa comenzará a hablar de los trabajadores, los políticos y otros líderes religiosos con la intención de discutir el exilio de trabajos por Nabisco desde una perspectiva moral y ética y publicarán ampliamente sus hallazgos. El BCTGM y su socio Justicia Obrera Interconfesional piden a toda la gente de fe y conciencia social que se unan a esta lucha contra la explotación por Nabisco de trabajadores en los Estados Unidos y México. Millones ya están boicoteando los productos de Nabisco hechos en México y ya está afectando sus ganancias de la empresa. Únase a nuestra lucha por la justicia moral y económica. Únase a nosotros en www.fightforamericanjobs.com. www.fightforamericanjobs.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, this program is brought to you in part by the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO and the United Auto Workers Region 1D. We appreciate their support very much. Joining us today from Social Security Works, we've got Linda Benish. Linda, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Always a pleasure, Linda. We appreciate all the great things you guys are doing. So, what do we do now? I mean, somehow or another, we've got to get the Republicans to quit going after Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. I mean, you know, my God, it doesn't even test well with Republicans in Alabama. You know, how do we get them to stop doing that and, you know, provide them with some other real solutions? You know, for years and years and years in this country, Social Security, the funds that are there has been this great slush fund for Congress. I mean, there's more IOUs in there than we know what to do with. And quite frankly, that's got to stop too, huh?
Yeah, so I would say that what's going to make them stop doing it is feeling the pain at the polls. And I do think that we're really reaching a tipping point like that for that. And we're going to see that, you know, in 2018 and 2020. And one kind of funny thing about this tax scam that I think just shows how arrogant that they've gotten and how much they're just serving their donors is that it's very normal for Republicans to be attacking the working class and the middle class, and this bill definitely does that. But what's not so usual is that this bill is actually a real attack on the upper middle class as well. It's terrible for you if you make between, say, $75,000 and $200,000, especially if you live in a blue state because of the elimination of the state and local tax deduction. And a lot of those people are Republican voters. And so if Democrats are able to get through to those voters that Republicans, if this goes through, you know, voted to raise their taxes, or if it doesn't, that the Senate and the House have both already voted, and so they're all on the record as voting for it, even if they're not ultimately successful in passing a final bill. I think that's really going to be a huge part of it. And Social Security and Medicare, you know, they are essential for all Americans except for the super wealthy. And so I think that that's going to be a big part of that as well.
Yeah, but you know what's funny about that? Even the super wealthy in this country, when that Social Security check shows up in the mail, they cash it.
They do. Yeah,
and
they should, because they earned it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what's great about Social Security.
Right. You know, unfortunately, you know, there are a lot of things that Social Security used to do, just ask Paul Ryan, that he's blocking from doing today. You know, he fully benefited from college education. He benefited from monthly funding coming in to pay for his bills when he was a child. But he is doing everything in his power to stop that from happening today. And then yet these same people that are doing that are creating these huge windfalls for the super wealthy and the corporate interests in this country.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And restoring the student benefits is one of the expansions of Social Security that we're really fighting hard for at Social Security Works. But I completely agree with you that they really think that that they can buy votes to the point where they're only serving, you know, a very small handful of billionaire donors, and they've abandoned 99% of the rest of the country. And they have to learn that, I mean, even as much as they try to suppress the vote, as they try to just run on scandals instead of issues, they can't work against the interest of 99% of the population and continue to get reelected.
Absolutely. So, in your opinion, the big deal that we have to do is get people to pick up the phone, call their senators, call their congressmen, call Washington, D.C., you call Congress. They've got an automated system for the telephones. Telephone number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. It's an automated system. It'll ask you want to talk to your congressman. It'll ask you want to talk to your senator. It'll ask you for your zip code or your state, and it'll get you right to those offices. Please be kind to the person that's answering the phone. Oftentimes it's an intern. Their lives are hard enough having to deal with the politicians on a daily basis.
Yes, I've done it. You're quite right.
Be nice to them. But when it's all said and done, leave your message. Tell them that you want a letter back on what your representative or your senator is going to do. And if you don't like what comes in the letter, circle what you don't like, send it back, and tell them to, you know, explain this. You know, make them and continue to make phone calls, folks. Make phone calls when they're doing the right thing. Make phone calls when they're doing the wrong thing. And, you know, don't be afraid to call on a regular basis. My congressman and my senators get a phone call from me once a week. And I've got something that I'm saying, hey, great job on this. Or what's the matter for you? You know, because if we don't hold their feet to the fire, they're going to think, hey, I got away with this. And if I got away with that, I can get away with more next time, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's been so far 650,000 calls to Congress opposing the tax scam. But, you know, if we get to a million, I think there's a really good chance, especially if it's the right members being called, that we can stop this. And I mentioned Maine, Arizona, and then another group that's really important is Republicans from California, Republican members of the House, because, as I mentioned, this bill, it's an attack on the state and local tax deduction that's so important to California, and yet California's entire Republican delegation voted for the last version of the bill anyway, but they are going to have to vote again. And this is really important, and I should mention it, that even though the House and Senate both passed bills, they were different bills, and they are holding a conference committee right now to try to reconcile them. And it's definite that both the House and the Senate are going to need to vote again, because the Senate actually played themselves. This is a little funny. When they rushed their bill through, passed it at 2 a.m., they accidentally eliminated some of their corporate donors' favorite tax breaks. And that means that not only is the House going to have to vote again, but the Senate is going to have to vote again.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Linda, I mean, you're in D.C. You guys are working this every day. You're knocking on doors. I know Alex Lawson's out knocking on doors, walking the halls, and grabbing congressional critters as he can. But, you know, on a scale from 1 to 10, I mean, I believe that we have the ability to get them to stop this debacle and come back with something that is realistic, that is beneficial. I'm not saying I got to like it, but it's beneficial and not, most importantly, it is not harmful to this country. What do you think?
I think that our best bet at this point is just to continue delaying, right? Like if we can get Susan Collins to say, I'm not happy with this version of the bill, go take it back to conference and keep talking about it. I think that is really the best strategy right now, because the more that voters hear about this bill, the more that they hate it. Like in polls, people oppose it by a 2-to-1 margin. Even a lot of traditionally Republican groups really oppose it. And also, the longer that they wait, the closer that we're getting to the 2018 midterms. And so the best strategy here is really just delay, delay, delay until we can get Democrats to take over one house of Congress and be able to block this, or both.
There you go. Linda, any final words for us today?
I just want to encourage people to go to stopgoptaxscam.com to learn more. That's a website that we've put together with several coalition partners to keep folks updated on the best actions that they can take to stop this. And you can, of course, also always follow our work at socialsecurityworks.org and on Facebook at Social Security Works.
There you go. Linda, I want to thank you very much for being with us today. It is always a pleasure. And you let us know what we can do to help, and we will be there to the best of our ability, okay?
Thank you so much, Charles.
Always a pleasure, Linda. We appreciate it. That was Linda Benesch of Social Security Works. Again, pick up the phone, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. That's how you get to the automation system for the congressional telephone system. Follow the prompts. You have one congressman, two senators. Just keep letting them know what you want them to do. Don't stop. Make them think about it. And the more they think about it and the more we slow them down, the better off it is. Because, you know, when you get 70% or more of the American public saying this is for the birds, well, they should be paying attention to us, not those people that write those campaign contributions. That's just me. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborist Talk Radio.